Hello, my name is MJ Willard, and I'm Executive Director of National Telecommuting Institute, or NTI. I'm going to start by giving you a little bit of history of NTI, where our roots are. We were founded as a not-for-profit disability organization. It's called a 501c3 in Boston in 1995. There were three founders. Paul Corcoran, who was chairman of the rehabilitation department at the Tufts New England Medical Center. Mark Schlesinger, who was chairman of the economics department, health economics at Yale, and myself. And my background is as a behavioral psychologist. And I had already spent about 15 years or so in the area of working with people who had significant physical disabilities such that they spent a fair amount of time in their home. And I worked with innovative methods for helping people become more functional and independent in their home. It really wasn't until the early 1990s that I began to explore what work opportunities there were for people who had physical disabilities and wanted to work at home. And frankly, I was pretty disappointed to find that there was almost no one out there doing anything in this field, and that the jobs themselves were, as one voc rehab director put it to me, he said, these jobs are scarce as hen's teeth. And when we began to make some trial placements, that's exactly what we discovered. We placed people into jobs where they were doing appointment reminder calls for medical practices and hospitals, or data entry, or medical or legal transcription, or book indexing, or a host of other sort of one-off jobs where you could find an occasional job here or there, but not the hundreds of jobs that we were looking for, because we wanted to place thousands of people with disabilities. However, with the help of some research money from the Department of Education, we interviewed a lot of experts in this area, and what all of them were telling us is, look at the call center industry, look at the world of customer service agents, because it's going to go virtual in a big way. Let me tell you a little bit about the call center industry, or the call center niche of occupations. 30 years ago, there was no such thing as a call center agent. But today, this area employs roughly 3 million Americans. That means there are more call center agents than there are public school teachers in this country. There are more call center agents than there are truck drivers. And it's a growing field. And despite the fact that you may have read about customer service jobs going overseas, and they are, in fact, this trend has seemed to wind down a bit. And in addition, even with ones going overseas, the area in general as an occupation is expected to grow in terms of numbers. It's just the case that it's cheaper for companies and it's easier for customers to pick up the phone and talk to somebody in the area of banking or mortgage, or to buy a product from a catalog, or to get support for your internet or your cell phone or your cable, or to talk to a government representative about some papers that you need, or to make a travel reservation or book a hotel room. So the call center occupation area is growing, and at this point, depending on whose statistics you want to believe, somewhere between 5 and 10% of all call center agents are already working from their homes. And experts in the field are all predicting this trend will continue. Now, why? Why will call centers want to go virtual with their workforce when, right now, traditionally, they'll have hundreds of agents sitting in large rooms and cubicles answering these calls? Well, they want to do it for economic reasons. The technology keeps getting better so that you can monitor the agent just as if they were sitting down the hall. You can listen to their calls. You can coach them. You can see how long they're on the phone, what difficulties they're having. And it doesn't matter that they're 2,000 miles away instead of 200 feet away. So the technology's better, but if the agents are remote, you're not paying for their offices or their equipment. If the agents are remote, it means you can recruit agents from across the United States rather than just trying to recruit from within 10 or 20 miles driving distance to the local call center. That means you have a great deal more choice in who you hire. And you can find people with hard-to-find skills, like technical skills or medical skills, or people who have certain types of insurance licenses. In addition, you can get virtual agents are more willing to work, you know, evening or night shifts. They're more willing to work part-time and also to work short shifts. So when you have a calling surge and all the phones are ringing off the hook, you can call in enough agents just to work for those couple of hours. And then when you don't need them anymore, when the volume's dropped, you can let them go. And if somebody's working from home, they're much more comfortable with that kind of schedule. They're much more willing to work split shifts and say, I'll work a couple of hours in the morning and a couple of hours in the afternoon, for example, or I'll work just the evening shift. All right, so it's a more economical model for the call centers themselves. So who wants these kinds of virtual customer service jobs? Well, it turns out quite a few people, and that's one of the challenges. It turns out mothers who are interested in working around their children's schedules and want to work part-time. It turns out people that are newly retired, senior citizens who don't really feel comfortable living on exclusively on their retirement funds and would like to work part-time. Or people living in rural areas where, again, there's just not that many work opportunities. And as a result, the competition for these jobs is fierce. There was a November 2009 article in the Wall Street Journal where the reporter made note of the fact that the numbers of home-based jobs are increasing dramatically, particularly in the call center industry. But after she called about a dozen different companies and talked to them, she said the problem is that it's very tough to get hired. Their hiring, on average, was about 2% of the applicants. One of our primary contributions to you is we go out there and do the hard work of finding call centers that we think have good jobs. We screen them and we court them. We market to them. We offer a host of free services. We'll fly out to their headquarters. We'll do presentations. We'll do whatever we need to do to land these jobs on behalf of our population. In part, we're screening your potential employers. We also obviously screen you. In turn, we're telling the employers we're going to do the best we can to find people that have the necessary skill sets. We've done some preliminary training so they understand about call center work. We're going to match the people who want the kind of hours and shifts that the employer offers. And so we're both a marketer on your behalf and we are a matchmaker on your behalf.